What's up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it's Monday, February 10th. And I tell you what, the XFL wasn't that bad. I know a lot of people went into that this past weekend thinking, AAF 2.0. Honestly, if you were able to watch it, you probably agree it wasn't AAF 2.0. AAF really looked like and I'll be nice because I could say a lot of expletives here, but it looked like a uber poor man's NFL preseason. Whereas the XFL didn't feel that way. Now, it certainly wasn't the NFL, but the rules that they had in place really did a great job of keeping the pace up. It was a very pass-happy weekend. It was entertaining, and I think that's all we really need here. Nobody's expecting this to be the competitor, the NFL, an alternate league in that sense. No, this is spring football. It's going to be fun, and it looks at least initially like there is going to be some interest here. And that means not just from a fan standpoint, but obviously from a gambling standpoint and also from a fantasy standpoint. Hey, I thought it was pretty cool that we were able to play it on FanDuel and DraftKings, and of course season long as well. Yeah. Started some PJ Walker, baby. But anyway, we'll get into that in a couple minutes here with some thoughts on what we saw from a performance standpoint. But do want to touch on the NFL really quickly here because the free agency period almost upon us. And over the next couple weeks, there's going to be, you know, it's a slow trickle initially, but then the news eventually starts flooding out in terms of what we can expect. And of course, it is a bit anticlimactic the way the free agency is done today, because oftentimes we do know the biggest moves before the official start of free agency. Regardless, one of those moves will likely involve Phillip Rivers in some way, shape, or form. Maybe won't be the biggest move, but it is a move that could have a ripple effect because he is going to enter free agency. So that was officially announced today by the Chargers. So there is no doubt here that this is going to happen. And when we think about this, just first and foremost, let's think about it on the Chargers side of things before we talk about Rivers. With the Chargers right now, as it stands, they do have Tyrod Taylor atop their depth chart. Could they go into 2020 with Tyrod Taylor under center? Abso-freaking-lutely. Is that exactly what they want to do? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. But could he be a starting quarterback in 2020? Yes. If he is a starting quarterback in 2020, Tyrod Taylor, he will be a top 15 fantasy quarterback. Now, I can't guarantee that he's going to start because obviously there could be some other things that play out here. But as it stands, Taylor would be a huge beneficiary if the Chargers decide to stay the course. And that could be a Chargers-like move given what they've done in the past. However, there is some guy. His first name is Tom. His last name is Brady, who may or may not remain with his current team. And if he doesn't remain with his current team, Los Angeles would make a lot of sense for him. It would make a lot of sense. It would be a bridge move. Tyrod Taylor's a bridge move for the Chargers as well. He's not the long-term answer. But it would be something that would at least salvage. And I'll be honest. It won't salvage QB1 value for Tom Brady in fantasy. The era of the pocket passer in fantasy being a top 10 fantasy option, that's gone, right? That's why Taylor's so appealing. I don't expect Taylor to throw for much more than 3,000, maybe 3,200 yards. He could throw for some touchdown passes, as we saw. That's certainly doable. But, you know, if Taylor's a starter, what does he rush for? Does he rush for 600 yards? Does he rush for 700 yards? You know, how healthy does he stay, of course. Whereas with Brady would be on the two quarterback radar in Los Angeles. He'll be on the two quarterback radar provided the Patriots can get a little bit of extra talent if he stays there. We'll see with that. But things got very interesting. And it's not just with the Chargers, because of course we have connected the dots here. And we've had some sources out there who have talked about the connection between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Philip Rivers. Now, in addition to, originally it was Jason Lockenfora, and I'll tell you, there are some folks out there who, you know, in terms of insiders, have more insider information with certain teams. Lockenfora used to work with Bruce Arians at CBS, so it's one of those, I know people sometimes say, well, you know, who's his source? In this case, I think he's got some pretty good sources. I don't know who his source is, but I think he has some pretty good sources there. Now, Jenna Lane coming out and saying that the interest is legitimate. Now, just because it's legitimate, just because Jason Lockenfora said it, doesn't mean it's going to happen. We've seen this over and over and over in the NFL. This isn't predetermined. This isn't necessarily 100% lock it in stone. But if it does happen, again, another domino. So the initial domino has fallen. Rivers is out. The second domino here, if they sign Rivers, they're not signing him to be a backup. You best believe he would probably go the Eli Manning route, right? Well, if I'm not going to be a starter, I'm going to retire. So he's going to be a starter if he goes to Tampa, and you would be looking at him essentially as a bridge. That means the guy who they took first overall, the guy who just had a 5,000-yard passing season, although he threw for 30 interceptions as well, he gone. Where does Jameis go? The domino effect here is going to be fascinating. This is going to be the most entertaining free agency that we have seen in the recent era of the NFL. This is going to be so much freaking fun. Usually free agency is kind of like, oh, okay, great. that was fun. That cornerback got paid. Yay. Otherwise, it's a whole lot of nothing. You know, good wide receivers don't make it to free agency. Good quarterbacks typically don't make it to free agency. And good running backs will, but they're usually old, right? So it's anticlimactic. This one's not going to be. This is going to be freaking awesome. Now, one thing I can say, though, is that Greg Olsen, well, he won't be around by that point in terms of free agent, because he technically is. He's already a free agent because he's no longer on the roster. So he is expected to sign with the team, because remember, if you're entering free agency but technically still on the roster, you have to wait until free agency starts. But if you are no longer affiliated with any team, you can sign whenever, right? So he is expected to sign by the end of the week. There was some rumblings that, of course, Greg Olsen could have been headed towards the booth. That won't happen, at least in the short term here for the NFL. But, of course, Greg Olsen was in the booth here this past weekend. He'll be in the booth for XFL games on Fox. And I tell you what, just across the board, the XFL, the presentation was rock solid. Very, very impressed. It was not like the AAF. I can't say that enough. I know I said it already. I'm going to say it again. But Olsen looks like he'll land somewhere. Highly doubt him being anything more than really a low ceiling tight end too. He could see some decent volume if he's in the right spot. Of course, the big question with him is, can he stay healthy at his age? This will be his age 35 season. So something to think about with Greg Olsen, but it looks like he'll have a future elsewhere associated with football, especially if he, you know, does a nice job here with the XFL. So let's dive into the XFL here. Just generally speaking, like I said, this, I think if you didn't really give it a try, you should. You should at least give it 15 minutes next weekend. Just give it 15 minutes. If you don't like it after 15 minutes, just say, Radcliffe, you're full of it. I hate it. I'm going to go back to watching whatever the heck you watch on Saturday in February. What do people watch on Saturday in February if there isn't an NBA game earlier? Whatever you're watching, go back to watching it, right? But I think you're going to be impressed with, is it the best football? No. But the product as a whole was freaking really fun to watch. And I think you're going to be impressed, and I think you might give it more than 15 minutes if you do give it 15 minutes. And if you didn't get in a season-long league, and I know, hey, a lot of people out there were complaining about the alt fantasy sports site. First and foremost, it's a free site, and the dude is just doing it by himself. So I don't think we should really be complaining about it. I think we should be understanding that it's the only place you can play XFL, and the site was overloaded. For him, it's a good problem to have. For us, was it a little bit frustrating? Sure, but whatever. It's the only place we can play. Give the dude some credit. So anyway, if it goes well this year, if the XFL is here next year, I think we might see it elsewhere. Is it ESPN? Is it Yahoo? Is it a smaller site? You know, is it a site like My Fantasy League or Fantrax or something like that? I don't know what it would be, but I do think we'll see it elsewhere. I think more sites are going to offer it if it is successful. The initial look is that I think it is going to be successful. So let's look at some of the fantasy performances here. Looking at quarterback, I had mentioned earlier, PJ Walker was just an absolute stud. He went out and tossed four passing scores in that very entertaining Houston offense. I'm a Houston fan. I'm not a fan of any NFL team. I'm a fan of all 32, not any one individual team. But I decided I would pick a team, and I'm picking Houston, and so far so good there. Very entertaining to watch. Just as a whole, and he was the number one fantasy quarterback. He scored 27.8 points. The only other quarterback to top 20 points was Jordan Ta'amu. Went 20.1, and a big part of it was his ability on the ground. 9 carries for 77 yards. By the way, that PJ Walker line was the highest scorer of the week, regardless of position. But Ta'amu adds with his legs. 20 for 29, so he's pretty efficient for 209 and a passing score. We did see Brandon Silvers toss 3 passing scores. He had 45 attempts, but only completed 22 of them. He did have 3 interceptions as well. He was slinging it around the field for sure, but ultimately the numbers really didn't pop, so I wouldn't read too much into the 3 passing scores. Otherwise, I mean, there was some similarities to AAF from a passing standpoint that the numbers really didn't pop in a huge way. But when you look at all 8 starting quarterbacks, only one of them failed to top 200 passing yards. It was Matt McGloin. Everybody else was up over 200. So I think that's pretty solid. 2 quarterbacks didn't throw for a passing score, Aaron Murray and Philip Nelson, who Philip Nelson won't be the starter with Landry Jones coming back very likely this week. He seemed confident that he was. I thought Cardale Jones was really the best, even though Philip Walker put up the best line, Cardale Jones was the best quarterback of the weekend. He went 17 for 29 for 235 and 2 passing scores, carried the ball 10 times for 23 yards. He's not a burner or anything like that, so that's not really surprising, but he was carrying the ball, so and some there was design runs in there too, so that looked pretty good. Anyway, let's move over to running back, and this is a league that is not going to have high volume runners. We should just say that right out of the gate. Although, surprise surprise, Matt Jones led all ball carriers with 22 rushing attempts. A lot of folks had expected, including yours truly, that Christian Michael was going to lead that backfield. Christian Michael did not lead that backfield. In fact, Christian Michael looked dreadful. He scored -1 fantasy points. 1.1 to be precise. Remember that? I mean, it was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful from Christian Michael. 8 carries for 0 yards. Matt Jones, on the other hand, went 22 for 84. So I'm flip-flopping those two on the Battle Hawks depth chart there. The biggest fantasy performance actually came from James Butler because he scored as a runner and a receiver. And the James Butler game was interesting for sure because he was not who we expected to carry the ball there. In that Houston backfield, we really envisioned a kind of a committee between Andre Williams and D'Angelo Henderson, and that wasn't the case there as well. So this is good, though. We had honestly no clue until the official depth charts released on Thursday and Friday, and even after that, we still kind of had no clue until the games got started. But Butler was certainly a big surprise. If you're in a season-long league, then Butler is going to be really the top pickup out there. I wouldn't get too carried away, though, because when you look at how it broke down from a carry standpoint, I mean, he had 9 carries in this contest. Andre Williams, 3. D'Angelo Henderson, 1. So it's not like there's a ton of meat on the bone for fantasy purposes there. And he's not going to score 2 touchdowns every single week. Only 3 running backs over 10 fantasy points. Trey Williams had 3 for 16 as a runner, but 4 for 27 and a touchdown as a receiver. And Lance Dunbar, I really think we kind of nailed his stat line. 5 for 27 as a runner, 6 for 29 as a receiver. So I think I said on the pod that he projected to be the top receiver from a reception standpoint heading into the first week. That's what he ended up being. So anyway, Devion Smith, 16 for 79. So heavy volume for him. Elijah Hood, 13 for 50. Jarrell Presley, 12 carries, only 31 yards, but at least there was some volume there. Moving over to wide receiver, and I did get a couple shout outs on Twitter for Friday's podcast, because on Friday I happened to mention the name Austin Prohl, who is a guy who I drafted in our season long league, our PFF season long league. Austin Prohl had himself a day, 5 for 88. 2 scores, but he did have 11 targets. Only 3 receivers had double-digit targets at wideout: Austin Prohl, Nelson Spruce, and Keenan Reynolds. Now, Spruce also had a big day, 11 catches, so he led all receivers, 103 yards. Big time day for him. Keenan Reynolds did have the 10 targets, but he only caught 3 of them for 7 yards. 7. I do still think Keenan Reynolds has some juice going forward. But anyway, Spruce and Prohl over 20 fantasy points. Prohl 26.1, Spruce 21.3. Dan Williams was there too. 6 catches on 9 targets for a buck 23. That actually led all receivers for the weekend. 18.3 fantasy points for him. Going down through it though, I think Rashad Ross was a little bit surprising. He only had the 2 targets, but he did get in the end zone. Caught both targets for 52 yards. Looking at the way that I'm going to, when I do projections this week, I'm not just going to look at target distribution, but I'm also going to look at routes run. And I think routes run is going to be a little telling for us there. Rashad Ross was out there a good chunk of the game, so that's at least helpful. And I do think we'll see the target share increase going forward, but it won't be a monster number like it was last year. It just seems like there's a little bit better talent at wide receiver in this league. Sammy Coates was a big time disappointment, 2 catches for 26 yards, but he had 9 targets. So something to note with him. A few others, Flynn Nagel. I think I mentioned him on Friday's pod, 6 for 43, little slot receiver there. So PPR certainly like that. Joe Horn Jr. did have 8 targets, but only caught 2 for 27 yards, 9 targets for Cam Phillips, 4 catches on those 9 targets for 67 and a touchdown. Cam Phillips looked pretty good, and it had a little bit of buzz in this game. Moving over to tight end, and as we expected, not a ton of tight end in this one, at least in week 1. But there are some names that we could potentially use as flex options if that's the way that your league is set up. By the way, Kahari Lee led all tight ends in scoring for fantasy purposes, but he only had 1 catch. It was 1 for 39 and a touchdown. Don't get too carried away with him. Really, there's 3 tight ends that I'm looking at that were interesting coming out of this weekend. Donald Parham, who we expected, 4 for 40, but he had 6 targets. Jake Powell, who we didn't expect, had 4 catches, only 28 yards, but 6 targets. And then Nick Truesdell, who did a good job in the AAF last year, had 3 for 49, but 6 targets. So all 3 of those guys led the position. Brandon Barnes had 2 for 31. He'll be involved, but not a ton. And Sean Price also had 4 targets, 2 for 30. Not bad. Not good, though. Definitely not good. Either way, there you go. There you have it. The XFL. Heading through the week, we will talk a little XFL later in the week, and we're going to dive into some rookies. On Wednesday's podcast, we're going to set the stage with some rookie quarterback talk. What does the position look like? The combine is not too far away. So what does it look like before the draft? And again, I have to say that we're doing this to set the stage. We're doing this to compare everybody on equal footing so that after the draft happens, then we can effectively rank these guys for dynasty purposes. So we'll do some fantasy scouting for you coming up here. In the meantime, do me a favor, stop by the website, pff.com. It's pretty good. Lots of XFL. And if you are already a subscriber, XFL will be up on Premium Stats. It currently isn't as of Monday afternoon, but I would anticipate it this week. You'll get XFL Advanced Stats. Awesome. 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 Also awesome, following me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. For PFF, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.